World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it. See?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, to kind of paraphrase Ronald Reagan here, I can't remember exactly how it was. He said something along the line regarding liberals. Now, I've pretty much thrown that word away. As you know, liberal conservative, those terms are made up terms. They don't mean anything. They don't. So there's good and evil. And so the Ronald Reagan said something along the lines is it's not so much that I can't remember exactly. Here's the point I want to make. It's not what people believe that is the problem. It's what people believe that is not true that is the problem. And I was saying just before I went before we came up on the air talking to the guys in the queue here, I'm a pursuer of truth. And you know, Jesus said, "Think not that I came to bring peace." There's what good old Jared, he gets it up there. Mark Twain says, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." Boy, is that ever it. I'm on a relentless pursuit of the truth. I stole that one from Rush Limbaugh, who, by the way, is not on a relentless pursuit of truth. He's not seeking the Lord. And I want to emphasize to everybody who watches this show, because I hear from a lot of people, good and bad. None of us have a corner on truth. And every one of us, I don't care who you are guided, driven, standing upon a belief system that you're convinced is true. And one of the most difficult things for all of us is to have somebody show us that what you have always stood on isn't true. That's a frightening moment. That's a frightening thing. That's a frightening thing to come in contact with. And I told Michelle before I came down here, you know, I made the comment yesterday, and I really mean it. Somebody said, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And I jokingly said, man, I'd much rather just be an Indian, to be honest with you. Because being the chief brings a lot of responsibility with it. Now, I just want to say publicly, well, this is publicly, but I would say it privately, I would say it publicly. I want everything that I say and everything I do to bring glory to the Lord and be rooted in truth. That's all I can say. If I say something that offends you, but it's the truth, I don't apologize. Amen. I might apologize that you were offended, but I'm not going to back down from what I believe to be the truth. Or, as you know on this show, our relentless pursuit of the truth together. I'm in my battle garb today. I don't know if you picked up on that. We had a good hard-hitting program yesterday. But how do I say this? You know, you hear people say about Trump, they say Trump is, he's 13 steps ahead of everybody. Sometimes I feel that way too. Now, I don't mean that in an arrogant way. When I'm doing a show, when I'm preparing for a show today, I can tell you this. Today's show is a rewind of what the Lord was trying to get me to talk about 14, 15 days ago. And something else got in there and took precedence. It's okay. But I can't get away from it. And so therefore, I want to lay it on the table. And see, some of us don't like it all the time because it's not the popular thing that you want to be talking to. And I want to say to Mr. Anderson, he sent out an email to everybody today, and I thought it was a brilliant email, Kevin, and I'm with you on all that stuff. And I one of the things I said yesterday about all of us having so many different agendas, I don't think that the agendas are malicious. I don't think anybody is purposefully trying to prove they're right and everybody wrong. I've never sensed that. But I know this, that you like to talk about, I like to talk about the things that interest me. And you like to talk about the things that interest you. And perhaps your calling is in that area that interests you. But we can't get offended or we have to give our brothers some slack when they come here or I go there, wherever it is, and their priority ain't my priority. We have to cut each other some slack on that. So yesterday when we were talking about unity and all this kind of stuff, and yet, and I said, and I stand behind it, the body, the church, whatever we call this thing, the church, is almost laughable in its unity. It's almost laughable. It's laughable. And for us to say that it's not, well, we would be dishonest. Why do they have Baptists? And why do they have Lutherans? And why do they have Methodists? And why do they have Pentecostals? Why do they have Episcopalian? And why do they have Catholic? Why do they have Methodist? Why? What? You mean to tell me that we can look at all these sects, S-E-T-C, S-E-C-T, all these sects of Christianity and fool ourselves and say that we're the body of Christ is unified?
That's right.
You can't be serious on that, can you? You can't be serious. And so then the question comes up, about the body, oh Lord, just be with me this morning, Lord. The body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? Are you telling me that every church on every corner is the body of Christ? I'm sorry, I don't believe it. I'm sorry, I don't believe it.
Yeah, Coach.
I believe they're full of places that have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. And I believe that there may be saints, really saved people, sitting inside those churches, but I don't know how. I don't know how you can be saved and sit inside a church where the truth does not go forth. Because if you are hungry for truth, you won't be able to survive on that mess that you're hearing. Okay? And I had a talk yesterday. A buddy, Pastor Tom, came over yesterday. We had a good discussion yesterday, and I value his opinion. And he pointed out something that he thought I ought to be cautious myself with, and I try to caution myself with the painting of broad brushes when I say the church, the church, the church. The church, the church, the church, the church, the church, the church. Well, listen, folks. The church ain't what they're telling us it is. It isn't. And I'm going to say this again. Everybody who goes to church thinks their church is good and their pastor's good. Well, somebody's missing something. Somebody's missing something. Because if every church and every pastor was good, we wouldn't be in this mess. Now, Pastor Tom said, we use the term corporate church or corporate religious church. Okay, I'll live with that. I'll live with that. But I know that sitting in good churches are dead people. Somebody say amen.
Amen, brother.
And I know sitting in dead churches are some good people. I understand that. But what I don't understand is how are good people sitting in dead churches? I don't get that. And I also don't get this. How are dead people sitting in good churches?
Amen.
So you see what I'm saying, right? You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something. Whether we want to admit it or not, the entire religious system in America today is man-made and man-structured and man-formed. Everything about it is man. Everything about the system is man-made and man-constructed.
And nothing to do with Jesus. No.
Yeah. Well, they think it does, but right. It doesn't. So I want to throw that out there real quick because I'm heading somewhere today. I got to tell you this. Are you ready for this one? Michelle and I are going to be grandparents again. Isn't that awesome?
Hey, congrats.
Oh. Little Maggie.
Congratulations.
Abby's the one who lost the baby however long ago that was. Remember, we prayed about that. Abby lost her. Maggie came into the house yesterday, and boom, a little surprise to her and a little surprise to everybody. Going to be another bambino. Mia, Macy, Mia, and I said Mickey, but I don't think they're going to name him Mickey, although we don't know if it's a him. I'm believing it's a him.
Yeah.
So the M&Ms. So isn't that great news? That's great news. And so now my ante just went up more. It went up more. And I'm not in the business of pleasing men. I'm not in the business of even pleasing you guys here in the queue. And I'm not afraid, and I don't do it on purpose, but I'm not afraid to step on your toe or kick you in the shin. In fact, I have people sometimes email me and say, hey, listen, coach, listen, when this guy says that you got to step in there and straighten him out, coach, you got to step in. I said, listen, hey, fellas, this ain't church. This is an open forum. And I let people say what they want to say because I am for a relentless pursuit of the truth. And I'm not going to sit here, even though it's my show and I have veto rights. I'm not going to veto everything that's said. And I'm also going to say this. You don't have to believe it simply because I bring it to the table. You don't have to believe it. And the fact that I bring it to the table doesn't even mean I believe it. I bring it to the table because I want you to begin to think. That's what I want you to do. I want to break down these walls that are inside your mind, give you the ability to once again to critically analyze everything, including what they've told you about what is in this book. I don't care if you agree with me. You're allowed to disagree with me. However, I have to be the chief. It's my powwow. I smoke the wampum. I'm the dude. And so I have to maintain that type of control. And you're allowed to come into my teepee and bring your own wampum if you want to. But don't expect all of us to want to smoke your wampum, okay? And here's the good thing. You don't have to smoke mine. You don't even have to come. But I'll say this. And this is what I'll pat myself on the back on this one. You're allowed to say whatever you think on this show. I don't have to agree with it. Sometimes I don't respond. Sometimes I move on. You would think that's where I am, man. That's where I am. And I just want to lay this on because hey, trust me. Don't follow me. Don't follow me. My wife won't even follow me sometimes. All right? Don't follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow Christ. This whole thing, everything that we talk about should be Christ-centered. Everything. The answer to everything. See, Facebook isn't a problem if we raise up Christ. Pedophilia isn't a problem if we raise up Christ. The church isn't a problem if we raise up Christ. There is no Christ is the answer to every one of these situations that we see ourselves in. Christ is the answer. The problem isn't drugs. The problem is no Christ. The problem isn't government tyranny. The problem is no Christ. The problem isn't the family. The problem is no Christ in the family. The problem is always no Christ. The answer is always Christ. Always Christ.
Amen.
And for some reason, those of us, even in the church, have been taught and are teaching others that the solution is something besides Christ. And it's
wrong.
Not.
Right.
And it's not. And so those of us who carry the name of Christ, those of us who deal with churches, I'm trying to constantly point out the problem isn't the government. The problem is the response of the church. The abortion's not the problem. The problem is the church accepting it. Lying government's not the problem. The problem is the truth in the church is not being lifted up. The people in the church don't understand and speak the truth. The people in the church. It's never the other side. It's always Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm ever trying to bring any solution except that. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is it. Jesus and nothing else. However,
wow.
He's interspersed in a lot of other stuff. He is involved in every aspect of the world. I don't care what it is. You pick the problem. You pick the I want to say department. That's not the right word. What category? Government, education, pick whatever one it is. Hey, dude, the answer is Christ. The answer is Christ. Problem in the government isn't not enough government. The answer is no Christ. That's the answer. The problem isn't homosexuality. The problem is no Christ.
Wow.
So you with me? Yeah, Roger.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. I might put it in a more simpler term for me to understand. The problem is Christ is not out there. I mean, you're amen, brother. But also, I am convinced all it would take is Christ through his people to stop the majority of the ill that is approaching our culture. All it would take is that 30 or 40% of the population that supposedly knows God or knows Jesus, and you could end things right and left tomorrow. You know, the Revolutionary War had about 4 or 5% of hardcore supporters. A larger percentage was against us going against Britain. But it doesn't take huge numbers, but it seems like Christ and those representing Christ are on the bench.
Well, here's the issue, Roger, and I just heard it from the Holy Spirit. Here's how I know it's the issue. The problem isn't that Christ died for us. The problem is we're not willing to die for Christ. And most people who are following Jesus are following Jesus for the benefit, what they can get out of it. That's it. We're not sold out to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. I am not sold out to Jesus. Every time I look at something that I ought to do something about, the first thing I ask myself, as I'm just being honest, is what is this going to cost? And I'm going to tell you something. Does everybody else. And most people aren't able to pay, aren't willing to pay. They're not willing to pay it. And, you know, I'm not really, thanks, John. I'm not really willing to pay. I don't really want to pay it. I got another grandbaby coming along. You know, Michelle said to me yesterday, God, I love my wife so much. My goodness, what a blessing she is. Guys, if you're not loving on your wives and you're not letting them know how much you appreciate them, she is the backbone in my life and our marriage. Man, oh man. You know, everything that I do in my life, I have to ask myself before I do it, what's the impact going to be on my wife? How's this going to impact my children? I've seen what they do to my children. I've already seen that. I see what they're doing to Trump. I see. They don't play fair. And so it's just as easy to sit back and say, well, I'm not going to deal with that. I'll let somebody else deal with it. When, in fact, I know that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. That'd be me. I'm a good man. Well, I'm a righteous man, made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Ain't nothing good about me. But if I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ lives within me. In the life I now live by the grace of God, the Son who died and gave his life for me, then I'm already a dead man. And I'll tell you, most of us don't operate as dead men. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. We love our lives too much. Starting with me. Especially America, right? So soft and so easy to be in America. I'm going to shift gears here in a minute, but I'm going to tell you this something. I'm going to tell you something. The average one of you watching right now, watching this show right now, you are not one-tenth the man that Donald Trump is. I can't even imagine what keeps that guy getting up in the morning. I have people that call me with problems from somebody gave them a phone call and they can't get over it. And can you imagine can you imagine when he lays his head down on his pillow at night? Can you talk about that video spinning? Can you imagine the things that would be in his head? Would you ever sleep if you were him? Would you ever? What if we had sold out Christian men like him? Not wait a minute. I'm not saying he's a sold out Christian man. What if we had sold out men like him, who are Christian? We got soft men. We got sissy men.
Oh, yeah.
We got men lovers. lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And the very ones who are criticizing Donald Trump, and Lord knows there's plenty of criticism, they ain't got the guts to stand in their own pulpit and tell the people the truth.
Amen, brother.
I had to get that out. I had to get that. All right. So can I go where I want to go today? Is that okay? Let me open it up in case somebody else has something they want to say, because this has bothered me for 13 weeks, I think. And anybody?
Yeah, Coach. He
could be on a yacht right now drinking Mai Tais every hour in the hour instead of having to listen to stupid mouth breathers denigrate him every day while he's trying to actually get stuff done.
Can I tell you how ticked off I get in the morning just to listen to some of you knuckleheads?
it's nonstop
for him. Nonstop knuckleheads.
It doesn't bloody end.
It never ends. I think this is Matt Tice. Let me grab this a second.
Yeah.
You're on the air, Matt. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, bud.
Am I on?
You're on, man. Go.
Well, is what I just wanted to mention listening to you this morning, Dave. You're right. Christ is the answer. It's loving Christ is the answer.
Amen.
We still got it backwards. The church doesn't preach it. I was telling one of your other listeners the other day, next time you go to church, just make a note of two things. Number one, how much does the church, how much does a preacher talk about loving God? Not about him loving us, but how much does the preacher talk about loving God? And then, how much does he concentrate on giving you an application for what he talks about? It's practice. It's practice. Read that scripture. Matthew 28:20, where Jesus says, you shall go forth and baptize people. But then do we realize that what he says when he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you? Now, what does that word observe mean? Look up the word observe in Webster's Dictionary, and the word observe means to practice.
Mm.
That's what it means. It means to practice. We can't do anything until we practice what we're supposed to do. Does the church teach you how to practice the things that you need to do in order for you to love God? No. And that's one of the things that we don't think about. You know, and I don't mean to criticize people like yourself.
I do.
Some other Christians for a long time. The problem is we don't understand how to approach those people that are sitting in the pulpit, that are sitting in the pews every Sunday, that are lost, that don't know what to do. We don't give them anything to practice. We don't give them anything to spur their love around so that it grows for Christ, so that when they do get the opportunity to do something for God, to support Jesus Christ, they don't do it because they never practice it and they don't know how to do it.
Amen, Matt.
We've got to change the mentality of the people and give them the information that they need so that they know and they finally learn how to practice what they need to do so that they can start loving God and loving God every minute of every day.
Amen, Matt.
And that's all I got to say, Dave.
You nailed it pretty good again, Matt. Yeah. Amen.
Well, you guys have a blessed day. Keep on.
Thanks, Matt.
God bless you.
He's right, isn't it? The church is all about how much Jesus loves us. It is. No, and can I tell you the truth? We love Jesus because he does stuff for us.
Now, that practice thing, you know, specifically, practice to learn, to discern good from evil. Practice it, the Bible says. Practice it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yep.
How else do you practice it? Right.
We are to love God.
Before Jesus came.
Roger, we hear your discussion. Don't say anything dirty. We hear your discussion there.
I'm talking to my lovely wife.
I hear you. Roger, you're welcome to do that, but I just want you to know that all the world's listening. That's all I'm saying. We're like Facebook here, you understand?
Yeah.
Did you guys see yesterday? I'm not going to talk about Facebook, but did you guys see yesterday? It was one of those mic drop moments when one of the senators, asked Zuckerberg, would you be willing to share with us the hotel you stayed in last night?
Ooh.
And Zuckerberg looked at him like, what? He said, and the senator said it again publicly, would you like to share with us the hotel you stayed in last night? Would you feel comfortable doing that? And little Zuck goes, no, Senator, I wouldn't. And the senator says, well, would you feel comfortable sharing with everybody the phone conversations you had last night, the text messages that you sent? And Zuck says, well, of course not. That's private. It was like they staged it. And then the senator says, seems to me this is what this issue is about.
That's right.
You get that, right? Yeah. There's a set of rules for them and a different set of rules for us. Zuckerberg's information is protected because he's important. Ours isn't important because we're just consumers.
Well, we're just dumb F's, like you said.
Yeah.
You know?
So I don't want to get into Zuckerberg and all that stuff. There's plenty of stuff.
Facebook day, by the way, everyone. Don't go on.
I ain't going on Facebook ever again. Ever. I don't think so. Anybody else? Because I got to get it off my chest. Yeah.
Amen. I had to pull over because I kept thinking about Luke 12:34, and it says, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also.
Uh-huh.
So if our treasure is in Jesus Christ, then that's where our heart will be.
Amen.
If our treasures are in the world, that's where our heart is in the world.
Uh-huh. Isn't it amazing, David? He said, well, your treasure is there, your heart will be also. But the reverse is also true. Where your heart is, that's where your treasures are going
that's
to be.
That's where your treasure is. Amen.
The two are interlocked. See? And unfortunately, modern Christianity is teaching people that Jesus is going to fill their heart. And so, therefore, that's why they love Jesus, because Jesus is filling their heart with stuff. He's giving them stuff. Being a Christian, there are bennies to being a Christian. Benefits. You get benefits. And then as soon as the benefits start to shut off, or as soon as somebody wants to step in and steal some of those benefits, then we pull back because that isn't what we signed up for. And the rapture's got to be coming soon because this is getting rough here.
The stupid
rapture. Right? Right? Okay, so thanks, David. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw, David did a fantastic interview yesterday with Mike Kurd here, The Watchman. David, here's the problem. I want all of you to think about this. This is so true. So true. Mike Kerr was blown away, David. He never knew you. I recommended you to do the interview. He didn't have any idea who you were. And after he did the interview, he emailed me, wow, holy cow. And you know what? When I mentioned to people that I have a friend who is an ex-tranny, lived 30 years as a woman, has an unbelievable testimony in the church. You know what the reaction is? Keep him away from me. Yes or no? And then when people hear it, they say, oh, my goodness. Everybody needs to hear this. Because, see, we don't know how wicked we are.
Amen.
We think just because David's particular form of debauchery was more debaucherous, he just had a darkened heart. That's all it was. And his choice of sin might seem a little bit worse to you than your porn watching and masturbation or your whatever it would be. Whatever, you're stealing at work. David, well, he became a woman. Me, oh, I just stole a little bit over here. Nobody knew about it. See, again, we don't understand our own wickedness. We don't get it. Listen, I'm wicked. I'm wicked. I'm righteous. But I'm wicked. I'm wicked. I am in this. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I am wicked and made righteous. I can't explain it. I can't explain
Amen.
It.
We don't understand redemption either, Coach.
We don't. No, we don't.
We don't understand redemption.
We don't.
We don't believe in redemption.
Well, we don't understand it. See,
yeah.
I had in the conversation I had with my buddy Tommy, Pastor Tom yesterday, I said, listen, redemption is a bookkeeping term. Reconciliation, redemption, it's a bookkeeping term. To be reconciled unto Christ means the books have been balanced. To redeem means it's been balanced. I'm redeemed. It's balanced. That's why the Lord can look at me and see no sin. Why? Because he looks in the books and it's balanced. He doesn't see it. We can't understand that. because we're natural men. And we want to continually remind each other of what sinners we were. Well, the Lord looks down there and he doesn't see it. Why? Because the books are balanced. He doesn't see it. There's no. It's a paid. It's redeemed. It's reconciled. We just don't do that. We think David Arthur. You're with me. I don't want to make this not David Arthur again. I'm trying to make a point.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
I will add this one about David. I got a buddy of mine that owns a junkyard, and he's one of them rough, tough guys. He's not saved, you know what I mean? Yeah. And good friend of mine, and I started telling him about David the other day a little bit, just started talking, and he just looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, and so I ended up just going through his testimony with him, standing there holding that book, and he looked at me, he says, when I got done, he was intrigued then. After I explained it, he looked at me, he said, can I have that book? Huh. I looked at him and I said, yeah. So he's reading the book, and then he got it once I explained it to him. You know what I mean? But he's reading his book, sitting down at the junkyard now, reading about David Arthur. So,
let me ask you this, Jeff. Let me ask all of you listening right now. Why doesn't David Arthur, from here till 2020, have his schedule already filled? Why aren't churches standing in line to hear this testimony?
Right.
Fear.
Isn't it the gospel? Isn't it redemption and reconciliation? Behold, I make all things new. And wasn't David the chief of all sinners? And wasn't I the chief of all sinners? And wouldn't great hope come to a congregation if a redeemed man walks in and says, I once was blind and now I see? Why is his schedule not filled?
You just said the word. They're blind. They don't understand it.
They don't. Well, they don't understand them. They don't understand them. Can I tell you why? If they invite David Arthur to their church, some people won't come, and they don't want to go there. Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach, David only has a marketing problem. If he just says that he's a former drug addict or alcoholic or whoremonger, they'll let him in.
There you go, man. There you go, Jimmy. There you go. That's right.
It's marketing.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, there you go, David. David, David, let's do this. Let's say that you were a drug user and you're redeemed from drug users who used to also be a woman. Maybe we could sneak it in that way, see? Yeah, hey, listen, do you guys have any idea how wicked you are? Do you have any idea? I know how wicked I am. Do you have any idea were it not for the grace of God, right now I could be John Podesta. Right now I could do that. I could be Bill Clinton. Right now I could do that. I could be Jeffrey Epstein. Right now were it not for the redemption and the grace of God. I could do that right now. And some of you have forgotten who you are.
Amen. Hey, can I mention that Epstein's Island got burned to the ground?
Yeah, I saw that too. I saw that too.
Yeah.
Well, even so, come quickly, Lord. And that's what's going to look for a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of stuff being burned to the ground. I'm not going to go there. Okay, can I? There's confusion. I talked yesterday about confusion. Who's the author of confusion? Can anybody help me out there?
Satan, the serpent.
He's the author of confusion. So his only weapon, really, is deception.
Indeed.
Now, see, the Bible says that he's a, not just a liar, but he's the father of lies. Listen, the devil doesn't just tell lies. He's a liar. It's his nature. When he opens his mouth, he lies. The Bible says in him there is no truth. There is no truth in him. I don't have the scripture in front of me. That's what's going on, see. And so what's happening is he's coming along, the father of lies. He's given birth to little baby lies that have infiltrated every area of society. And dare I say it, they have infiltrated the American Christian church. We've got that protect the flock with a Glock shirt, and on the back of it said, the devil is coming to church. I'm so wrong. He's already there. He's already there. We just don't see it. We just don't understand it. And so seeing how by the way, when the devil first shows up on the scene in Genesis 6. Can we go there real quick, Jared? I know we can. I'm sorry I didn't have a prayer. Just hit me. No, I told you the wrong one. Genesis 3. Thanks, Jared. So the devil shows up. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea. Did God really say that? So from the very beginning, the devil questioned what God said. Now the devil knew what God said, but he's banking that Eve didn't know. And so he just throws a little bit of doubt in there. Did God really say? And he says, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The devil said, did he really say? Now, hang on. How did the devil know that God said that? And then the woman said unto the snake, we eat all the fruit. But we can't touch that one right there, that tree right there in the middle. He said, we can't do that. Well, he said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the snake says, you're not going to die. Who told you that? Come on. There's no hell. What? They weren't born that way? Who told you that? Of course they were born that way. Judgment? Who are you to judge? Come on, man. Love everybody. Come on. For God doth say that in that day that you eat therein, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. See, there's always a little bit of truth mixed in with the devil, isn't it? Their eyes are going to be open. He didn't say it's going to be a good thing that her eyes would be open. And then when the woman saw that the tree didn't look pretty good, she began to question a little bit about what she knew about God. She said, well, that tree does look pretty good, and golly, God would want me to have good stuff, wouldn't he? So, yeah, maybe I didn't get that story straight. So maybe we are allowed to do it. So let me take a bite, and so I'll tell you what else I'll do. I'm going to give a bite, and then I'm going to give it to, verse 7, my pastor who's with her. I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to give it to my pastor. Pastor, should we really be speaking harsh about homosexuals, pastor? Nah. So it always starts with questioning what God has said. And you know what? Some of the most illiterate, and that's not the right word, unbiblical people you will ever find are in church. Biblically illiterate. And why are they biblically illiterate? Because number one, they've been taught to come and drink of the teat of the pastor for themselves. Go. And the pastor sees that they like that sweet music, so he keeps giving it to them. And when they go home, they never open up the Bible. They listen to Rush or Hannity or Michael Savage or Fox News. And then they come back to church on Sunday and go, get a little more of that milk. And they don't have any idea what the Bible says. Somebody say amen.
Amen, brother.
Coach, amen. I had that exact amen. Thing amen. Happen. Uh-huh. The exact same thing happened to a person I know. The exact same thing. That is what they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They entice you. Okay, so I got in a good conversation with I love my buddy Pastor Tom Gill, and I know that Tom doesn't mind that I would say this. I know he doesn't mind it. He and I had a discussion yesterday. I had a great discussion, and Tom came and spoke into my life yesterday, and I really appreciate it, and I really love him, and he's my brother, and he's got my back. I know that. But at the conclusion of our meeting, Tom, I'm not being critical. I know you know that I'm not. I'm trying to make a point here. Tom said, was talking to me about, the body and the bride of Christ and creating a bride without spot or wrinkle and yada, yada, yada. And finally, I just said, hey, Tom, I don't think the church is the bride of Christ. And then we went into the discussion. And Tom was telling me why it was. And I was telling him why it wasn't. And then I decided, it's really not even worth arguing about. I'm not going to argue with it about it. I love him. It doesn't matter. Except, it really does matter. because what we believe shapes everything. It shapes everything.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not going to go into this issue, although I'm prepared to. I'm going to go someplace else. Stay with me. You could pick up this Bible, and let's say you had never read it, ever. Let's say you just got Bible on tape. Somebody's reading you the Bible. I promise you this. After it had been read to you 10 times, 20 times, you would never see the church being the bride of Christ. Never. You would never, ever, ever say it. It never says it, not anywhere. Now, in Ephesians, I think it is, makes a comparison between a bride and Christ. But it never, God, just Google it. Just Google it. Now, hang on. This ain't drop dead with me. I'm trying to tell you, here's the point that I'm trying to, oh, Lord, I'm all over the place, Lord. Help me out here, Lord. Help me out here, Lord. Hey, boys, I don't know what you think. Here's what I think. The church is either the bride of Christ or the body of Christ. It ain't both. That's confusion in my mind.
Amen, brother.
It's one or the other. Now, how can we, as brothers in Christ, not know that? Why would we be confused on that? And I would say this, the only reason that most of Christianity says that the church is the bride of Christ, the only reason that is because somebody taught us that. And they took us to those scriptures and they showed us how that is. Now, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Can I give you another one? You don't go to heaven when you die. Dudes, you don't go to heaven when you die. I got this. You want me to produce it to you? Now, hang on. You don't have to believe it because I say it. Are we straight on that? You don't have to believe it because I say it. But I can show you scripture after scripture after. I'm not trying to get into these specific issues right yet, although I'm prepared to. The point I'm trying to make is, how can we disagree on such important doctrines of the church? And they say, oh, well, we'll just agree to disagree. Okay, well, could we agree to disagree on whether Jesus raised from the dead? Are we allowed to agree to disagree on that? They say, oh, well, no, that's essential. Oh, well, going to heaven, is that essential? Is that important to know? If the church is the bride of Christ, is that essential to know? Or is it not important? What am I saying? I'm saying somewhere, and it could be me, somebody been eating an apple. You guys understand what I'm saying? Somebody's eating an apple. Somewhere along the line, somebody ate an apple. Because how can you have those two divergent things, Christ the body, Christ the bride? How can that be? How can I be the body of Christ and the bride of Christ? And then when you ask that, they can't really say. They say, well, it's just a mystery. Can't explain it, but somewhere along the line, Pastor Tom, I'm not criticizing you, man. I know you know. Because listen, I just want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. Is the church the bride? Or is the church the body? And don't tell me both. Don't tell me both. Confusion. Confusion. Hey, Jared? Oh, man. Hey, Jared, go to Got Questions. Last one, Jared. Church. Got Questions.
Hey, Coach, and while you're going there...
Is this boring, fellas? Is this boring? I hope not. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, it you'll know it by its fruit and see what it is producing. You know, when you think about that, you know, the rapture, what is it produced? It has produced the mass of the church just sitting in the church and waiting for Jesus to come. When we call it the bride of Christ, what does it produce? It produces feminism in the church, unwilling
to get out.
Amen,
brother. Okay, Dale, hang on, because folks, listen, I'm going to try. I need 2 hours today. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? Here's this. I like this. I go on the website and I look up things, right? I said, I'm going to Google, what is the church? What is the church? Okay, now. Here we go. I want you to look for bride. All right? Now, I'm going to show you the same website. I'm going to take you to bride, and then I'll talk about the church. You tell me we're not confused. What is the church? Well, many people today understand the church is a building. It's not the biblical understanding of the church. The word church comes from Greek ecclesia, which is defined as an assembly or called out ones. The root meaning of church is not that of a building, but of people. It's ironic that when you ask people what church they attend, they tell you the building that they go to. The church is the body of Christ, of which he is the head. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, to the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The body of Christ is made up of all the believers in Jesus Christ, the day of the Pentecost, till Christ's return. The body of Christ is comprised of two aspects. The universal church consists of all of those who have a personal relationship with Jesus, where they're all baptized in one spirit, one by Jews, Greeks, white, blah, blah. The universal church of God is all of those who have received salvation through Christ. The local church is described in Galatians, Paul an apostle, all the brothers with me, to the church in Galatia. Here we see the province of Galatia. There were many churches, what we call local churches, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic. It's not the church as the universal church, but rather a local gathering. In summary, the church is not a building or a denomination. According to the Bible, the church is the body of Christ. All those who have placed their faith in Christ for salvation. Local churches are gatherings of members of the universal church. The local church is where members of the universal church can apply the body principles of 1 Corinthians, encouraging, teaching, building one another up, the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought it was the bride.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
One of the key things you just said and all that was you ask people and they say, ask people what they are, what religion they are, what they say, oh, I'm a Baptist or I go to the church on the corner or whatever. You know, the Bible says what's in the heart comes out of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
If what comes out of their mouth is their relationship to a organization or a building or a doctrine, then that's where their relationship.
I mean, Larry, I understand. I understand it, and I agree with you. I want to show something else here. I'm not disagreeing with you. Jared, let's do this one. Jared, go one up. Got Questions. I just read from Got Questions, by the way. Got Questions. Jared, let's go to Got Questions, Body of Christ. Oh, my goodness, what happened there? There you go. How's the church the body of Christ? Same website. The phrase, the body of Christ, is a common New Testament metaphor for the church, those truly saved. When Christ entered our world, it took on a physical body prepared for him through his physical body. Jesus described the love of God clearly, tangibly, fully through sacrifice. Scrolling up here, Jed, I'm trying to hurry. After his bodily ascension, Christ continues his work in the world through those who he has redeemed. The church now becomes the love of God clearly, tangibly, and boldly. In this way, the church functions as the body of Christ. The church may be called the body of Christ because of these facts. Members of the Christ body of Christ are joined to Christ. Members of the body of Christ follow Christ. Members of the body of Christ are the physical representations of Christ. Members of the body of Christ are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of Christ. Members of the body of Christ possess a diversity of gifts. Verse number 6, members of the body of Christ share a common bond with other Christians, regardless of background. Members of the body of Christ are secure in their salvation. Members of the body of Christ partake in Christ's death. Members of the body of Christ receive the gift of Christ's righteousness. I thought we were the bride!
Huh.
Now, hang on. Jared, let's click on Got Questions, Bride of Christ. Same website. What does it mean that the church is the bride of Christ? Well, the imagery and symbolism of marriage is applied to Christ and the body of believers known as the church. The church is comprised of those who've trusted in Jesus, their personal Savior, received Christ. Christ is the bridegroom. See, now they've changed who he is. Has sacrificing, lovely chosen the church to be his bride. Where does it say that? Ephesians, remember? Just as there were betrothal periods in biblical times during which bride and groom was separated, you have a responsibility during the betrothal periods to be faithful to him and rapture the church. There it is. At the rapture. The church will be united with the bridegroom, and the official wedding ceremony will take place with it, and the eternal union of Christ and his bride will be actualized. In this eternal state, believers will have access to the heavenly city known as Jerusalem. Believers in Christ, go clear on down, Jared. Believers in Christ are the bride of Christ. Now, I want to know something. Why in the previous two things that we read about the body of Christ was this not mentioned? Can I tell you why? Because it's compartmentalized teaching. And I just want to know one thing. Are we the body or are we the bride? because we are not both. You can't marry yourself. In fact, doesn't the Bible say, somebody help me out. Doesn't the Bible say that in heaven there is no marrying?
Amen, coach.
Hey, boys, I'm just asking the question. I'm just asking the question.
That's it.
Because we're told twice in Revelation 21, hey, I'd like to see the bride. Hey, dude, come here. I'll show you the bride. So what? Is John lying? Is John lying? And now it just becomes a metaphor? And can I tell you what else? You check, you Google anywhere you want to, and you will not find in the Bible anywhere the term the bride of Christ. You will not find that term. I challenge you. Well, say, okay, then why is that so universally believed? Isn't it amazing? You won't find the word rapture, and you won't find the word term bride of Christ. Nowhere. You'll find the lamb, the lamb's bride. You'll never find ever anywhere the church described or defined as the bride of Christ. Hmm. Now, I just want to know the truth. I'm not trying to step on anybody's theology. I'm not trying to kick anybody in the shins. I want to know it's true. I ain't interested in no applesauce. Are you following me here? I want to know the truth. And I'm going to tell you this. If you view yourself as the wife of Jesus, you're going to act different than if you view yourself as his bicep.
Amen.
Amen.
I prefer the heel.
The heel. Face palm. Whatever. Whatever. It's confusion.
No, because then I get to crush Satan's head underneath my heel, brother.
I got you, brother. Listen, guys. Don't believe it, because I'm bringing it to the table and I'm asking. That's all I'm doing. Lord knows I am in no position to tell you guys the truth of the scripture. And I'm not trying to do that. I'd say this. Be like the Berean Christians who studied the scriptures daily to see if what they had been taught was the truth. And I charge any of you to do two things. I'm running out of time here. Number one, find the body of Christ. I'm sorry. Find the bride of Christ in the scriptures. You'll find the body of Christ 53 different times. And then number two, do a serious study. I ought to get Michelle down here. I was hooping and hollering this morning as I was reading something in the scriptures today.
Yeah.
How do the dead in Christ rise? What does that mean? The dead in Christ rise. Well, where are they? You say, well, it's their bodies. Is it? Again, a new body. A new glorified body. And boys and girls, I hate to make you uncomfortable, but you ain't going to heaven till after the 1,000-year millennial reign.
Amen.
Huh? You say, what? Yeah, the new Jerusalem. You know why? Because the Lord's going to show up, and he's going to make everything perfect for 1,000 years, and he's going to say, I want everybody to know, I want the devil, I want everybody to know that this system I set up works. Amen. I want you to watch, it works. When the Holy Spirit is here, and the Holy Spirit is control, and the way I set up this perfect thing, I want you to find out that it works. And I want you to know something, that before this whole world gets burned up, I am going to be the conquering king. I am going to stand on the earth with my people saying, we have conquered death, hell, and the grave. Here it is. We are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and then will the end come. But you ain't going to heaven until after the millennial reign.
Amen.
That's the way I see it. You don't have to agree with me. All right. Got 6 minutes, and I've been a loud mouth. Listen. I'm not trying to share your private conversation. I'm not trying. I've already told. Oh man! Oh. Unbelievable.
There you go. Watch your wipes.
I'm telling everybody, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. And don't believe it just because somebody told you that. That's the point I'm making. Oh, my goodness.
Friggin' pride.
You know, in those things you read from that website, there was one thing that occurred in both answers that actually is so incorrect that the churches out there propagating, and that is both of them mentioned those who are saved, if you are, receive Jesus as your Savior. And that's what the church emphasizes is Savior, Savior, Savior. What they forget to put in there is the Word says. Now, once again, like you said, this is what I believe the Word says because I can read it. It's in black and white. You can read it in black and white and then decide whether you're going to accept it or reject it. But the Word says that you got to make Jesus your Lord. If Jesus is not your Lord, he ain't your Savior.
Amen, brother.
Amen. 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 So what are you trying to say here, Coach? Here's what I'm trying to say. I want to know the truth. And I believe, and fellas, listen to me. Is there confusion on this issue? Is there confusion in the church on this issue?
Absolutely.
How can it be? Who's the author of confusion? See, there has to be truth. So, well, there has to be some truth. And I'm saying, what is the truth? What is the truth? And listen, I'm gonna publicly apologize to my friend Tom Gill, who I honor, and I'm not doing anything to try to criticize him. I'm trying to show what he and I had a conversation, two sets of beliefs. He knows I love him. I wouldn't criticize him. I'm not criticizing him. I'm asking, how can the two of us both love the Lord so much and have such different opinions on what I think is a pretty important issue? I could be talking about me. I could be calling me an idiot. I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. I could be the idiot. Oh, well. Sorry, Tom. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Oh, well.
Well, Dave, we have to be prepared to receive that we might be the idiot. We might be wrong.
I might be the idiot.
Yeah, any one of us might be. Are we more stuck on our doctrine or just stuck defining truth? That's what your message is.
There you go.
Yeah. Amen, Chad.
Thanks, Chad. That's it. That's it.
Yep. That was it.
Yeah. See, I don't. Whatever you believe, as long as Jesus is central, that's the issue. It's Jesus. It isn't all these other doctrines. It's Jesus. And I just want to know the truth. And that Jesus be the centrality of the truth. Some of us have been eating apples.
I hope your friend heard what Chad said, because that was good.
Dave?
Yes?
Can I ask a quick question on an earlier topic? I don't want to move us too quickly.
Okay, we only got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Real quick. The Old Testament, then, what drove the people to worship God and revere him? I understand that in the New Testament, it's all Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. What drove Abraham? What drove Isaiah, although Isaiah saw him, but to love God and to revere him?
Well, they feared him first, I think, Roger. I don't think we were capable of loving God until it was the incarnate Christ. I don't think we had true love. I think it was out of fear. I think we were motivated out of fear.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
All fear and respect. We were in awe of him in the Old Testament.
Yes.
We were afraid of him in the Old Testament, and we had to respect him in the Old Testament.
That's what I think. Yes, and he became a personal Savior in the New Testament.
Fear of righteousness.
Right? Yes. The law is the schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. The reverence and the fear of the Lord is what drives us to Christ. Christ was not available in the Old Testament. So therefore, sacrifices and rituals and all that, because they were trying to do something to please God. They were trying to keep the wrath of God off of them. They were trying to please God. And when Jesus came, they were able to have a personal relationship. That's what I would say. That's what I would say is the difference. Hey, listen, you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall make you free. That's my goal. That's what it is, man. That's what it is. And please, don't follow me. Follow Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.